This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic. Listening to the From the Attic podcast in an attic can break the space-time continuum and may also cause night terrors.
Hello and welcome to the attic. I'm joined by three and a half members of the Emerald Dawn.
Three
and a bit. Members of the Emerald Dome, we've got a black box with white writing on it that says David Greenaway. Sorry. We've got Tom, is it?
Hello there.
Hello, Tom. Tom Jackson.
Hello.
And we've got Ali and Tree.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to my attic. I hope you enjoy the ambiance.
Thank you.
It's cozy.
First things first, how is everybody coping with all the shenanigans that's been going on?
Fairly well, really. We're really lucky that we live in Cornwall and it's such a beautiful place to be locked down, really. So better than a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, we're very lucky. I mean, our house is, you know, it's a decent size. We've got some land. So we can walk around the land without bumping into anybody. So we can be self-isolated without too great inconvenience. Food's delivered to the door by the supermarket van. I hate to be in a flat in a city or a bedsit. That would just be awful. So
it's, like me.
Yeah, like poor Tom, who is in St. Ives and is in a flat. Yeah.
So how is it for you, Tom?
it's been all right on the whole. Unfortunately, I have... A lot of my fellow drum friends have been able to have a kit set up in their place and do online lessons. And whilst I can do online things like this, I haven't got the space currently. I actually do now have space where I can put a kit. I've been sorting out stuff today. But also I need to worry about soundproofing, so I haven't been able to rely on that. So for a while, I was just furloughed and couldn't do anything. But luckily, I've got a computer and lots of video games and DVDs to catch up on and books to read, so I've been entertained. But yeah, just as far as work goes, it's only really the stuff we've been doing together that's really been the only kind of playing I've been able to do on the whole. But I can't really complain. It's not the situation I'd like, but it's making the best of it.
Yes, as Tom said there, we have been able to play occasionally because we do have a studio. And because half the band are full-time professional musicians, we have designated that our official place of work. And so with the proper measures in place, we have actually been able to rehearse and compose and record.
Yeah. I'm just going to speak for David because he hasn't got a microphone. So David sings that he misses playing gigs, but he's enjoying the tranquility and has been reading a lot of books and is obviously still practicing his bass obsessively.
Because, I mean, David's the like guitar player, isn't he?
Bass player. Well, he plays guitar as well, actually, but...
He's the bassist. Yes, he's the bass. Yeah, he's the bass player, isn't he? So, yes, doing away with the old adage that the drummers are the least technical ones, eh, Tom?
Oh, yes! Sorry, what? You were breaking up a bit there.
But yes, the drummers are the least technical.
But you're all technicaled up, and I can see you, I can hear you, and there's just like a... black screen with the bass player.
David's not very good with electricity. Things are always going wrong. So even if he had a camera and a microphone, they wouldn't be working anyway. So
how does that work with, like, you've got a new album, which we're going to talk about momentarily, which is like a 48-minute long album. So how does that work, recording remotely then?
Well, we've actually recorded in the studio, so it hasn't been a problem. This is an interesting album because in the past we basically put stuff down, released an album, moved on to the next thing. This was odd because we were going to record it early last year, and then we had a load of gigs that suddenly appeared that we were really looking forward to playing. So we didn't record because we got gig ready. And then after the first of the two gigs in what was a series of about eight gigs, the lockdown hit us. And so we didn't record because we were gig ready, but then the gigs were cancelled. So we thought we'd start recording, but then we got some gigs rescheduled for the summer, got gig ready again, then they got cancelled. And then the same thing happened in September and November. So this year we thought, enough of this, and just sat down, got together and recorded the album that we were going to record last spring. But the result of that was, because we'd been rehearsing for so many gigs, we'd actually played the album many, many times before we recorded it. And we haven't done that before. And that meant the recording process was much smoother and easier than it normally is.
I mean, this new album is a prog fan's delight, because there's like three tracks on it, isn't there?
Yeah. We like long tracks. We can't help ourselves.
as do we. We were speaking before the we started recording. The last time we spoke was at Danfest in 2019, which is like 2 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
In a very, very cold Leicester.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It's madness.
We don't get sheet ice on the roads in Cornwall like the thing Leicester. It was, you know, scarily cold. Yeah. Do you remember Viper Soup Complex? They come all the way from Malta.
Greece. Malta,
26, yeah, 26, Malta. 26 degrees, I think, was the coldest they'd ever experienced. And they were standing there, not exactly well-dressed, outside, sheet ice everywhere. It was quite incredible.
So tell us about To Touch the Sky then. Where can people pre-order it? Because it's not out until, is it the 20th of March?
Yeah, the release date is the 20th of March, but we're doing pre-orders from March the 5th, which is a Bandcamp Friday. So we thought we'd do the pre-orders then. And yeah, basically that's available on our Bandcamp page.
Is there anywhere else that people can get it? Any plans for like vinyl or anything like that?
Oh, we'd love to do a vinyl. I don't know how many people know, but Tree paints all of our album covers inside and out. And she's always had gatefold sleeves in mind. So she would love a vinyl. But presently, we don't have the distribution network. It's a huge investment if you don't sell any. So we currently don't have any plans for vinyl, but we'd love to have vinyl with gatefold sleeves.
Yeah, so if anyone's listening to this and fancies putting some money into our vinyl production, we would be most grateful.
Chris Topham's your man at Plain Groovy, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, speaking to Chris, as an album artist, I remember, I think we may well have spoken at Danfest, I was gutted that that Tree did all the album art.
Well,
I know, sorry.
You do plan A art, don't you?
I know. Got an album cover coming out this year. Can't tell you too much about it, but
okay.
Don't ask me how much I've made from it. Because it's zero. We do it for love, don't we?
Yeah, except Tree's just started selling the prints of the album covers, of which there's been a little interest.
Yeah,
I have been exhibited. I've had an exhibit, an exhibition, a 2-week-long exhibition in a gallery.
Ooh.
Ooh. I know. I've also done a scout fair. but yes, so I do remember trying to overcome Tree to bid for your album art, but hers is much
better. I really like your artwork.
Yours is much better than mine. Behave.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, it is. It really is. Because yours is proper art, mine is just dicking about with pictures. So we've got 4 gigs lined up, haven't we?
Yep.
This year, of which I shall probably get to 2 if it all goes to plan. Do you want to tell us about those?
You'll have to do that.
If you're struggling, I've got it written down. Hold on. We've got the
Frog for Pert's the first one. That's Abingdon.
Don't say like Pert. It's not Pert. It's Piat.
It's Piat. That's right.
Is it Piat?
And you're a drummer,
that's right,
Tom.
That's right, I am.
Okay. Right, okay. Bronfen Pier, that's the first gig. Abingdon, that's a two-day festival. We're on the second day. Lots of the British prog scene is going to be there. So that should be a really good festival. Then next gig after that would be...
It's coming. They were looking at our own website to work out when we've got a gig.
It's the 1865 on... July 18th.
In July.
We'll be co-headlining that gig, but the other co-headliner is... we can't name them yet because they are not yet in a position to confirm, but they're hoping to be there.
Ooh.
And then after that, we've got...
You can tell me, Al.
You're recording it.
Nobody listens to this. Nobody listens to this. This is just a vanity project for me and Mrs. W.
And then September the 12th, we've got the Rearranged Fusion Mini Festival. Mm-hmm. Fusion Not Without a Fight at the Civic Starport. And then we've got a gig in Brighton, Hove actually, at the Brunswick, and that is September the 17th. There is another gig, but we're not allowed to announce it, and that will be 2 days after the Brighton gig.
Again, you can tell me, as I say, nobody listens. I just podcast these.
I'll be in trouble with someone, because I promised I wouldn't say.
So I shall hopefully see you at the Piat thing.
Piat, okay, Piat.
And I will be at the Fusion thing with bells on.
Yeah. That'll be nice. Nice to see you again.
So are you going to play all or more of the new album?
At least one track. But as for the rest, I don't know. What would be nice is if we could do at least one track from each album. But we'll have to discuss and rehearse the scene and plot how long we can fit all the songs in the set.
Well, you won't allow me to play anything from the new album on the From the Attic podcast for valid reasons, and I'm upset, but I have had a listen to it, and it is tremendous.
Oh, thank you.
It really is, and I was telling you about my haphazard approach to looking after my CDs, where I just throw them into a dishwasher basically, and they all tumble around. And but I did find pristine two CDs. I've ripped them. I have played you on Not the American Prog Show on more than one occasion.
You have.
Take that back. but yes, since being ripped, they just went into the Aldi bag of doom. That is my CD collection. But I do have Nocturne to hand, and I do have Searching for the Lost Key to hand. So I thought in the podcast we could play something from both of those, purely because they're the only two I could find. I don't want to play like an MP3. Because I've got an all analog setup now. I've got record players and CD players, and it looks like a space station now. And I've gone from having a USB microphone and iTunes to so many knobs that choke a small horse.
Your microphone could definitely choke us all.
Well, that's my new microphone. It's never mind the quality, feel the width.
Vivid image.
Yeah. It's the biggest microphone I've ever seen.
it is a lengthy boy, as we say.
Got a big round head.
Well, no, that's me windscreen, because it's got the most horrible out of the box. It's got the most terrible plosives. I tried it with a windscreen and without. And without, it was just absolutely shocking. So we'll play something now for the podcast listeners. Should we play something from Nocturne? How about that?
Yeah.
So I think we should play Moonlight.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Let's play that then.
Nobody puts a podcast in the attic.
Thank you. kicks ass.
Oh, it's a marvellous place, this recording studio. All those dials and tape machines and turntables. Oh, I'd like to be a recording engineer. But it must be a nerve-wracking job, living on spins and needles.
Welcome back. That was Moonlight by the Emerald Dawn from their album Nocturne. They're still on the line, everybody except David.
He's somewhere in the ether.
Sending out messages. I think he's texting Tree.
He has said, I am still here.
Good to have you here, David. Yes. Love your bass, man.
He says he's riveted.
So, yeah, I mean, from a podcast point of view, one of the things I'm most interested about, and I've done a few interviews with bands now, is just what the logistics, and I know you've said you've recorded in the studio and everything, but there must be some elements of distanced recording. So has this new album been any harder or easier than the three previous ones?
Not really, at least for my parts. From the previous three albums, all my drum parts were done in isolation to guide track and a click track setup, and I just lay those down. And for this album, for the most part, that's the same case, but there are a couple of sections where me and David are performing together where it's not so much of a heavy laid down beat, it's more free flowing. And to get that kind of interplay together, it was really best that we were able to record together. But for me, that's the only real difference. So it wasn't that much harder or easier, really. I can't speak for Ali and Tree or David, though. Was this harder or easier for you guys?
I think it was fairly similar.
Yeah, just the same.
Really?
Yeah, just the same as the previous albums. And David agrees with Tom.
Oh, is he tapped?
Yeah,
Semaphore, has he? down in Cornwall, it'll be flags, won't it?
Well, apparently we can see the hill he lives on from our house, yeah. So maybe it is flags. Yeah.
I know the peninsula well. I lived in Exeter for 6 months back. The storms at the end of the 90s, do you remember those? When the whole of Exeter or Devon and Cornwall blew away.
Tom, do you remember? We were down here then. Tom, do you remember storms at the end of the 90s?
We've had a lot of storms down here. I can't remember those one specifically.
After uni, I was a loss adjuster and I ended up moving down there and I drove the length and breadth of Cornwall speaking to mainly farmers and people whose thatched roofs had blown off.
David's agreeing. David's saying that there were storms, I think.
Yeah.
Is David nodding?
Lots of roof damage.
It was late 80s because I joined the police in 92, so it's probably 88, 89, something like that.
Oh, 1990. Hurricane.
87 was the huge storm.
Yes. I've confused you by saying 90s, haven't I? Yeah, it was a massive one in the 80s.
Yeah. 87, that's what the roof of my house in Brighton was damaged then, yeah. Hmm.
So we've spoken about gig plans. I know you've not even released the fourth album, but are there any album plans post album four?
Too many.
We've been going through lots of ideas, admittedly some of them jokingly, and trying to pick off of various concepts. So we got some ideas and we also got a few old riffs and chord sequences and things that we've been jamming to and seeing what we can do with them. So nothing finalised, but a few plans to mess around with and see what we can do with it.
Yep.
Yeah, and we've been working on a single.
Ah, yes.
That's a secret. We've been working on a single, which is very new. We've never done anything like that before, so...
Well, you should. I mean, lots of bands are doing it now and they're doing YouTube videos and all sorts, and it's all getting the name out there and income generation and all that stuff?
Well, one of our problems is, as you know, we don't produce short tracks. And that's not very helpful if you're interested in any radio play. I mean, we've recorded two tracks less than 8 minutes, and they're both over seven. Around 10 to 12's average, but we've got three tracks over 20 minutes long. We've got another track on this album, apart from the 22-minute track, we've got a 15-minute track. So trying to get played on the radio is difficult when you produce these great long pieces. So that's one motivation for a single, is perhaps people might actually be able to play it.
Well, I'm quite a good friend with Andy Tillison of The Tangent, and they're not known for their short songs. But I know they're on Inside Out at the moment, as you may know. And they do these radio edit things. Love them or not, they are a way of getting your music out in manageable chunks, I guess.
Yeah, we were chatting about that today.
We were.
So, yeah, might be a good idea.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the 10, 15, 20-minute long extended pieces. And I know we said that the last time we spoke was at Danfest, and I think that was the first time I'd ever seen you live. And I literally, within about 5 minutes of the opening bars of your set, I'd literally rushed to the merch desk, which I've not done that many times. I remember doing it for Magenta back in the early noughties. You know, when you just hear a band and you think, I need to buy everything this band has ever recorded.
Yeah.
And you like literally knock people out of the way to get to the merch stand.
Well, that's lovely to hear. We really enjoyed playing in Danfest because that is the first and only prog audience we've ever played before.
Yeah.
So we didn't know how that was going to go. And the audience was so warm and so welcoming to us. We had a great time.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, you know Mike Whitfield, obviously, who's my co-host on the American Prog Show. Me and Mike had been speaking at length about you, and he had been waxing lyrical, shall we say. But it's well, only, I think it's only when you hear you live that you realise just how bloody good you are.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we've known Mike for quite a few years because Mike, one of his children, was at university in Falmouth. And so we met up with him in Falmouth once and had a lengthy drinking session.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah,
with so Mike? With Mike drinking? No, never. No, never. I've just had a lovely little pop-up from Zoom that's saying the 40-minute limit has been removed because of COVID, so we can talk as long as we want.
Hey.
I know that's nice of them, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
We could talk long enough to go beyond the embargo for playing a song from the new album. I know. So when can I play something on Not the American Prog Show from it then?
It's embargoed until the 4th, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's embargoed until the 4th.
Are you going to get it out on any streaming sites?
No.
Get arrested for that.
Sorry?
What? Get arrested for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Who wants to rant about streaming?
You know, if you want us to hold forth about exploitation of musicians, then just mention streaming sites.
I know. I mean,
I was going for a dick joke personally, but
I did suss that Tom was veering towards the penis side of the debate there.
Why do people keep saying that about me?
It's a drummer thing, obviously.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
David's saying, careful now.
damage sort of thing.
Oh no, we're fine. We're fine. We put a disclaimer out before the podcast goes out.
Well, if we'd known that,
yeah.
Oh yeah, all bets are off. Just get some swear words out. If you feel like venting, just go for it.
Well, to answer that sensibly, no, we're not going to be on any streams.
No.
No, we think they exploit the artists, so we don't do it.
I mean,
John Young occasionally put up really interesting posts about the vast amount of money he hasn't earned through Spotify, and it really is quite criminal. So we basically don't want to be party to organisations where the owners make billions, if not many millions, while the artists get paid literally pence. So, they can find other ways to get rich. I don't think it should be on the backs of musicians.
That's a very good point. So what's your Bandcamp page then, Al?
Do we have to look it up?
Trees will have to look it up.
Get David to text you it.
She's found it.
There you go.
So it's https://. The Emerald Dawn. That's all one word. .bandcamp.com.
You don't have to do the HTTPS bit, Ali, but bless you for doing it anyway.
This is a non-WWW site, which is why it has to have it.
I just type WWW because I'm an old Yahoo sort of internet person from the 90s.
I remember for those who don't know, unless bands have got their own websites that you can buy merchandise from, Bandcamp is usually the best place to buy money from because the amount...
To buy music from.
Because they deduct far less than anyone else. You'll pay PayPal fees, you'll pay relatively small Bandcamp fees, and the rest goes straight to the artists. So if you want money to go to the people who are composing, playing, recording music, Bandcamp's usually the best way.
And especially with these Bandcamp Fridays, Ali, the a lot more goes to the artist, doesn't it?
Everything goes to the artist.
Apart from the PayPal deduction, everything goes to the artist, yeah.
Because do you have T-shirts as well? I've seen you've got T-shirts on. Is that on Bandcamp as well?
Yeah.
So you run. I mean, like a lot of bands now. I mean, it's a marvelous platform for consumers of music. I think as a DJ in inverted commas, I love waiting until payday. And buying a ton of music, but as artists, would you say that that's the platform for you?
Yeah, I think it supports the artists so much, and the fact that throughout all the COVID nonsense, they've waived their fees to help the artists is just fantastic.
On one Friday a month, I think that's amazing.
I know. I went
onto Bandcamp the other day and I downloaded a couple of albums by like a prog metal band that I'm particularly enamoured of at the moment. But they have a big splash thing that says that over 3 months they paid artists hundreds of millions of dollars. It was.
Yeah, there's a lot. Most independent artists are on Bandcamp.
And the other thing that's good about Bandcamp is I think it's 3 free listens to a track you get before you decide whether or not you want to buy it as a digital download or as a CD or vinyl if bands have vinyl. So you don't have to buy on spec like in the old days. You know, some of us would sit on the floor and the local Virgin record shop and listen with headphones on and then buy an album. And then it got progressively harder to sort of sample music in advance. With Bandcamp, I think it's 3 plays of each track you get before you decide whether or not you want to buy. So it's really, really good, I think, for both both the consumer of music and the producer of music.
We do need to be lobbying Chris Topham of Plain Groovy, though, to get you on vinyl.
Yes, we do. Chris, if you're listening.
Because the yes, Chris, if you're listening, I mean, I sent him a message the other day about a band I'd heard that said, you really do have to release this on vinyl. But like Searching for the Lost Key, for example, it's a double album any day of the week, isn't it?
No.
Oh, it is, yeah. You get one track per side because you get better quality.
Oh, one of those, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, better quality. Chris will sort you out on maximising your revenue streams or whatever it is. But but yes, Chris Topham, if you're listening. So we've played something from Nocturne, haven't we? So I think we're going to have to play one of the longer pieces from Searching for the Lost Key, because that's the other CD I actually found out of my Aldi bag of CDs. I'm not organised.
Well, that's the advantage of alphabetical order, isn't it? To find things it really is. Quickly.
So, yeah. So I have played, I know for a fact I've played Buridan's Lament on Not the American Prog Show before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so take everything you said about me back, David. So of the three tracks that are left, between the three of you, let's have a vote off. What should we play from... Searching for the Lost Key.
Let's see. So we've got either Beyond the Wall, Beyond Shadow the, and Light.
Beyond the Wall. Well remembered.
In Search of Lost Key.
Trust the drummer to know stuff.
It's not just this band, it's every band. I'm in charge of the set lists and remembering what songs we did.
So this running gag about drummers being dumb as a bag of doorknobs, then that's just like...
It's all a con. That's what we want you to think. We're just sitting in the back pulling the strings, and you guys just have no idea.
The man behind.
Oh, really?
The man behind.
Are we really? That might just be my dumb ramblings.
If he wants to give us a difficult day, he just has to increase the speed of the track. It's completely under control.
Yeah.
The man behind the curtain. So yes, as Tom rightly says, it's a song off. David can vote as well by semaphore.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the Wall, Shadow in Light, or In Search of the Lost Key, which is a bottomhouse.
I would go for Shadow in Light.
Let's make a difference.
That's what David said as well.
But one thing, that will be two instrumentals that would be playing. Would we want one with some singing?
Yeah.
Either Beyond the Wall or Buridan's Lament.
I've played Buridan's Lament on NTAP before.
Okay, go for Beyond the Wall.
Go for Beyond the Wall.
Well, yeah. we can market that to Game of Thrones fans, can't we? Which, just out of interest, was Game of Thrones uppermost or lowermost in your mind when you wrote that, or is it completely?
We'd never
heard or seen of Game of Thrones when we wrote that.
My wife calls it dwarf porn.
Ooh.
I am a fan. I must admit, I am a fan.
I'm a fan as well. I love it.
I do like it.
It's one of my favorite shows. Even the controversial season 8, which I thought was fine.
I liked it all. I thought it was all great.
Yeah.
So we'll play that track that we've all voted for then. What did David say?
David said Shadow and Light.
But
he's also said it didn't occur to him and it makes sense to do something with vocals. So.
He got overruled, didn't he?
See, Tom's showing the other side of drummers again there.
Yes,
whenever we got Gizko, this is the exact process we go through, trying to sort out which numbers. But this one has vocals, but you've got to play the saxophone on this bit, so we can't swap around there, and it's all crazy.
He's a bright lad, I'd keep him.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, so we'll play Beyond the Wall then. We'll get back to you momentarily. Oh well, no, we'll get back to you in 12 minutes and 3 seconds.
And it's over to Tony for tonight's gamble.
It's star prize time. It's 101 or more, and it's Brian Throy. And that's a one. Oh, that's out the board. It's a one. It can't be done, unfortunately, but that's the gamble.
It puts the podcast in the attic, or else it gets the hose again. You're listening to the From the Attic podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio and Dead Bob Productions.
Take a walk into the forest of your mind.
And in that forest,
Hi, it's the Kraz here. And where the hell am I? It's so dark in here. Oh, it's From the Attic with Brian Watson on Progzilla Radio.
Put the podcast in the attic.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that. That was Beyond the Wall.
Wonder, that was quick.
I know. It passed really quickly. From Searching for the Lost Key by the Emerald Dawn, who have been in my attic. And I'm glad for them being here, enjoying the ambience. We're going to wind up because you won't let me play anything from the new album, will you?
No.
Damn you to hell.
Well, you can once it's released.
Well, of course I can. I know, but that's not the point, is it? Us DJs, we like exclusives and we like to sort of like brag amongst our peers. Ooh, look at us, we've got some at first. You know the people.
If you get us a vinyl deal, you can play a track before everyone else.
Are you listening, Chris Topham? Are you listening? But I do think the music would lend itself marvellously to the format. I'm sure we can hobnob. Chris goes to gigs and things, and we can hobnob, and we can probably get him drunk and
Michael's buying a pint.
Give him some roofies or something. So anyway, To Touch the Sky is out on the 20th of March.
If 20th my March.
Bad eyes are. Yes, and it's available.
Pre-order on
March 5th. Yeah, March 5th, yeah.
20th, isn't it?
20th is when it's released, but we're taking pre-orders.
Oh, right, yes.
From the 5th of March.
5th of March pre-orders on the Bandcamp page that Ali struggled to remember earlier.
That's right.
So that's been marvellous. We're probably up to the hour mark now with the tracks that we've had. So thank you for joining me in my attic.
Thank you for inviting us to the attic.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. So without further ado, because I can't play anything from the new album, we shall segue away from the attic. And we shall move to an advert for Werther's Originals.
You know, I can still remember the very first sweets given to me by my grandfather. They were Werther's Original, and I was just a boy. I had a bit of trouble opening that shiny golden wrapper, but then, well, I'll never forget that first taste. Sweet and creamy and uncommonly good. I remember feeling I must be someone very special when my granddad gave me his wonderful butter candy. Well, now I'm the granddad. And what else would I give my grandson but my Werther's Original? After all, he's someone very special too, you know.
Me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.